The U.S. is now averaging over 100,000 COVID-19 hospitalizations a day for the first time since February, while deaths have climbed to 1,000 a day for the first time since March. Joining me now is Dr. Manish Garg, emergency medicine physician and co-founder of World Academic Council of Emergency Medicine. Dr. Garg, it's good to see you again. Tell us what you're experiencing. What are you seeing in terms of hospitalizations, and are most of those being hospitalized unvaccinated?
Great. Thank you, Alexis. It's wonderful to see you again as well. And just to begin, I wanted to say that I have no conflicts of interest with industry, and my thoughts are my own. So yes, Alexis, I would say that these numbers are not good. It's really a reflection of how contagious the Delta variant is and how vulnerable vaccinated and the unvaccinated patients are getting infected in this country. So right now, in the last week, when we reviewed our data from within our own hospitals in New York, almost the entire majority of hospitalized in the intensive care unit patients were unvaccinated. So we are seeing cases of patients who've had previously vaccination and then they have a level of sickness. They're not in the severe category of death or intubation or ICU stay. It's those who are unvaccinated. And when we start looking at the numbers nationally, there's some data coming out that one in five American ICUs has reached or exceeded 95% of the full beds. That's just terrible because they're running out of beds, staff, and equipment. And for those of us who were on the front line in New York City in March and April of last year, it's very triggering. I mean, we think about all that time that we spent there, and our heart just goes out to all of our colleagues and healthcare workers around the country. And if you take this information from multiple COVID trackers, like you mentioned, the cases going up, the hospitalizations going up. Unfortunately, since it is a majority of folks being unvaccinated that are in the hospitals, we should anticipate in the next couple of weeks to see more deaths.
And certainly Florida is one of those states where ICU beds are in demand, and they are leading the country right now in COVID hospitalizations, doctor. You know, since the early days of this pandemic, parents have been taking some comfort from the fact that the virus is much less likely to cause serious illness in children than it is in adults. Has that narrative now changed with the Delta variant?
This is a great question. And Alexis, I know we've talked about this before previously. I think schools starting up right now, obviously many parents are very concerned about their kids going into school right now. I think what's really important for people to realize about the Delta variant is that the Delta variant, if with vaccination, the Delta variant has been stopped in terms of this very, very worst possible outcomes, which is death and intubations. It's understandable that right now with vaccinations, we're having people have initial symptoms. And so for those of us in the public health sector, we actually feel that the vaccines are working. This concept of breakthrough infections is something that probably is portraying it in a poor light. It almost makes it seem like the vaccination has a poor veil. We know that 97% of people are hospitalized, are unvaccinated. And we still don't know the number of folks who are symptomatic. That's probably in a range of 50 to 70%. So for those of us that have been vaccinated, you need to know that there's a misunderstanding that's general around the world that essentially, if you've been vaccinated, you have memory B and memory and T cells that are there that can either create new antibodies or fight off the infection. So having been vaccinated is good for the majority of folks. It's those who are immunosuppressed or immunocompromised that will need the booster. It's those who are older and have comorbidities that will likely need the booster. But right now, Alexis, we're worried about the kids. So we're still waiting to see when the shoe will drop for when kids can get vaccinated. Right now, it looks like they're talking about in the next couple months that they'll have the data, then they'll be able to send it. And we're hoping that somewhere in November through January, they'll be able to actually put it out. Unfortunately, when looking at early polls and surveys, there's only about a 25% positive likelihood that parents are going to vaccinate their kids. So we need to do a much better job in terms of messaging families so that people can be empowered to protect their health.
Absolutely. And I know that speaking of those breakthrough cases, you know, those who are vaccinated coming down with COVID-19, there is now this variant that was first detected in South Africa that is said to be even more infectious than other mutations. What do you know about that and how effective the current vaccines on the market are to protecting us against it?
Well, you're talking about the new C1.2 variant that's been found in South Africa in May. It's been found in the regions of Johannesburg and Pretoria. It is very concerning, Alexis, in that it shares certain traits with other variants of concern. So it has increased transmissibility and an increased ability to evade bodies. I was trying to take a look before our conversation about the different regions right now. They've identified eight countries in different regions of the world, Africa, Oceania, Asia, and Europe. In fact, those countries right now that have reported cases include South Africa and the Congo, New Zealand, Mauritius, China, England, Portugal, and Switzerland. And in my discussion with my colleagues around the world as part of the World Academic Council, we're still learning more. We don't know exactly how well our vaccines should work. They still should work very effectively against this particular variant, as it has against other variants like Lambda and Delta. But right now, the CDC and the WHO haven't labeled it as a variant of interest or a variant of concern. But all of this is further evidence that we really need to make sure that we can get vaccines out globally. Right now, you see that there's a travel ban that Europe is having with the United States. That's probably in reciprocity to the fact that U.S. has banned European travelers for the last 536 days. So, I mean, again, this is essentially further evidence that we need to do a better job internationally. And I'm a little bit worried that this travel ban might cause some tense relationships between the countries that are vaccine plentiful versus those that are vaccine in need. And we need all of our countries around the globe working together so we can help in this pandemic.
But Doctor, having said that, do you think that it is the prudent thing to do right now for the U.S. and Europe to say, you know what, no non-essential travel right now until we get our arms around these variants?
I mean, the numbers are about the same when you look at the number of case counts and the number of deaths. I mean, from a public health standpoint, it makes a lot of sense. And so, you know, for me, with that particular hat on, I completely understand and agree with it. But from just kind of understanding how the global economy works and understanding how relationships work and just the way the back and forth nature of the global community works, I think it would actually work to kind of make more tension than probably than we would like to have.
Mm-hmm. All right. Dr. Manish Garg of the World Academic Council of Emergency Medicine, thanks as always for being with us.